Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we are in the series on the parables of Jesus. And last time when we were here a few weeks ago, we were also in Matthew chapter 13. We're going to consider again some of those same verses. And the reason for it is because the parable that we're going to consider today also speaks of the very same thing, just from a different angle that the previous parable that we considered covered, and that was the parable of the leaven. And so this morning, we're going to look at verses, Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Let me say this before we get started this morning. Our afternoon service, you may want to stick around for if you're not accustomed to doing that or practiced at doing that. Brother Seth is going to give his testimony of what happened on our Jamaica trip, how God worked in his life, what he taught him. And then also after that, I'm going to be sharing a whole bunch of pictures and video, and it'll tie in with all the things I talked about on Wednesday night. And you'll be able to put faces with names and places and just try to give you a scope of what we did and what we saw and what we experienced. And I think you'll be blessed by it. And so we'll be doing that this afternoon in our afternoon service. And so if you're a guest here today, you're welcome to stick around and have Sunday dinner with us and then be a part of our afternoon service as well. All right? Looking forward to hearing what the Lord has done in Seth's heart, and I know that you'll be blessed by it as well. All right. Matthew chapter 13. Let's begin in verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Now, when it comes to these parables, the kingdom of heaven parables, they're a little bit different than the other parables that Jesus gave. Often, Jesus would give a parable, which again, we know is a story or an illustration of a truth. And so Jesus, as he was teaching, would teach a principle, would teach a truth, and then he would give an illustration or a story to help drive that truth home. And often Jesus would explain the parable after he gave it. Maybe it was to his disciples, maybe it was to the people, but he would often explain it and say, this is what it means. But that's not true with the kingdom of heaven parables. He gives the parable, but doesn't really give much explanation or any at all to it. And so there are different interpretations of these parables, and as I read commentaries and I read what men have to say about it, most of the time I don't agree with it at all. And the reason is because they have a universal church mentality to them, where they associate the kingdom of God and the church as the same, and so their interpretation, their perspective is wrong. One of the more common interpretations of this parable is how the kingdom of God likened unto the church grows and grows and grows and grows and so on. And they associate the kingdom of God with the church and so on. And that's not true according to the scriptures. This is not a reference to the church. This is, however, I believe, a reference to the effect of the gospel in this world. The next parable, the parable of the leaven. Most of the time in the scripture, when leaven is used, it's used in a negative context. And so they also associate leaven being used in a negative way here as well. How Jesus says in verse 33, "Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." And again, they associate the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven and the church is the same. They associate leaven as a bad thing. And basically, what it boils down to in the interpretation is that leaven is bad. It's the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy or something like that. And basically, the whole kingdom of God or the church is permeated with false doctrine and so on. Well, if that were true, then all the blessings of God that he has promised to us, and even through a local church, all of those would cease. And the whole of the work of God would be polluted, because that's the nature of leaven, to completely change the character of whatever it's implanted into. Understand what I'm saying? So it can't possibly be that interpretation. When we get to the interpretation of the parable here of the mustard seed, they talk about how the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches of that tree. They say that, many say that this is a reference to, you know, false churches or false doctrine, and the whole umbrella of Christianity includes, you know, and houses those fowls or those birds, as they're negatives, they're bad, they're false doctrine, they're false teachers, whatever. And I don't believe that that's true either. And so there's lots of different interpretations. And the reason is, again, because Jesus didn't actually specify or explain what this parable is. But when we take the Word of God in its context, and we consider it in its context, the truth of what Jesus is saying becomes pretty clear. In Matthew chapter 13 and following, there are seven parables that Jesus gives. And the first parable that Jesus gives is the parable of the sower. And we understand and know that the good seed is the Word of God that is planted. And there's four different types of soil that seed is planted into. Only one brings forth fruit. It's the good soil of a good heart. That's the one that brings salvation. The seed is the Word of God. The Word of God meaning and really referencing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you take it all of this in its context, we get over to the Kingdom of Heaven parables and we find out that Jesus is still talking about the same thing. It's the effect of the gospel in this world. The parable of the 11 is the effect of the gospel in a human heart. And the work of the gospel is to completely transform and change a person's life and a person's heart. So Jesus taught this parable. He taught it to multitudes as well as his disciples. And he spoke of this mustard seed to show them that the beginning of the gospel would be small, but by the end, or at its end, it would be great. And the hearers to whom Jesus is speaking, they didn't fully understand all that Jesus was saying. But the reality of the Lord's kingdom will be seen when Christ returns for his own. Again, this is a reference to the gospel. The beginning of the gospel seed started with John the Baptist preaching repentance. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It continued with Jesus and his ministry with the apostles. And through them, they carried the gospel, and it began to be spread around to others. As the gospel was spread, churches were planted, and churches were started. And as those churches pressed forward with the gospel seed, souls were saved, and Christ's kingdom grew and increased as people were saved according to the gospel. So the parable here, Jesus is teaching to a multitude. Look at 13 verse 1 here. We'll just get a little reminder of where we were at, and we'll get into all of this here. Verse 1 says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore, and he spake many things unto them in parables." All right, so we see that this whole multitude is here, and Jesus teaches them in parables. He spoke many things to them in parables. Verse 34 says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them." So you get an idea of what's happening here. All that Jesus is teaching, he speaks to them in parables. One of the parables that he used here was the parable of the mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, let's give the interpretation of this parable here, so that we're all clear as to the direction we're going. The kingdom of heaven is certainly referring to Christ's kingdom. Not a physical kingdom, not as of yet, but a spiritual kingdom. It will be one day a physical kingdom. But Christ's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, which is the rule of God in the hearts of men. All right, everybody follow this. What is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of God? What is Christ's kingdom? It is the rule. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. It's referring to saved people. John chapter 3 and verse 3, Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a spiritual kingdom, a spiritual realm that you can't understand or see unless you're saved. And so it's not the church, but it is talking about the saved people all over this world. It's the rule of God in the hearts of men. That's what the kingdom of heaven is. The mustard seed is a picture of the work of the gospel in this world. How the gospel affects this world. It's something that started small. It starts very small, but then it grows. And as it grows, it begins to branch out. And as it branches out, it becomes the greatest, the biggest. And we'll talk about all that in a little bit here. The leaven that we read about in verse 34, I believe it was, verse 33 rather, speaks of the gospel or the effect of the gospel in a human heart. How it permeates the heart and seeks to change the whole nature of that heart. The man that sowed in his field in this passage would be a picture of Jesus Christ himself. That seed, that mustard seed becoming a tree is a picture of how the gospel grows and spreads throughout this world. The birds that come and lodge in the branches, I believe, is a picture of Gentile nations finding refuge in the gospel. The gospel was first preached or given to the Jews, but then it went to the Gentiles, showing that this gospel of Jesus Christ is a whosoever will gospel. And because of that, Christ's kingdom is preached and Christ's kingdom advances throughout this world, becoming the greatest of all. And so Jesus explains to his disciples in his teaching how that in the beginning it would be small. And they would be a small group. But they would turn into a large band. And the seed of the gospel planted in the hearts of men would begin to grow. And the question would be, how could something that is so small grow into something so big? By the way, just for your information, I read about a man who was a Bible college student. And he knew something about seeds. And so when this parable came about, it was a problem passage for him, because the Bible says that the grain of mustard seed in verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown is the greatest among herbs. He knew that the mustard seed was not the smallest seed that there was. And he had worked with smaller seeds, and so he began to doubt the scriptures, thinking that there might be errors in the scriptures. He couldn't trust it because the mustard seed's not the smallest. However, in Jewish culture, and Jesus is speaking to Jews here in the book of Matthew, a mustard seed was a typical thing. It was a type. And it was a type of something that was simply the small, something very, very small. When you take parables and when you consider parables, you can't always press everything to its actual very literal meaning all the time. You run into problems, and you run into false doctrine that way. Jesus is illustrating a truth, and the Jews knew exactly what he was talking about. And even in Jewish culture, I read that the mustard seed actually was the smallest of seeds of what the Jews would have known. It's not a problem passage. And again, you can't take and press every last detail to its literal meaning without running into problems in parables. That's not the purpose of a parable, to formulate doctrine. The purpose of a parable is to illustrate a truth, one central truth. And the question again is, how could something so small grow into something so big? And the answer is simply by a miracle of God. And I want to look here at this parable and see how it applies to us as saints of God today. Again, let's just reiterate what these things mean. The seed here is the Word of God, specifically concerning Jesus Christ, contained in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Word, of course, is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. In other words, Jesus Christ is the gospel seed that brings salvation. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This seed is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The tree is the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, the rule of God in the hearts of men. The kingdom can only grow as the seed of the gospel is planted. The birds of the air mentioned, which is plural, by the way, represents the gospel being available to all, being available to Jew and to Gentile, and all peoples find rest and protection in the gospel. This is the interpretation of this parable. How did this, what was Jesus illustrating when he said this mustard seed, it grows into a tree and so on? What exactly was he trying to illustrate? And he was illustrating the growth of the gospel. When Jesus was on this earth with his earthly ministry, that was the beginnings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ would soon die. And he would be buried, and he would be raised from the dead so that we could have redemption through his blood. The beginnings of Christianity and believers in Jesus Christ, they started with John the Baptist preaching the kingdom of God and preaching repentance. And we could say that the beginnings really were with the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, just a small band of people who carried and spread that gospel seed until multitudes heard and believed. How did that gospel tree grow into the tree it is today, the kingdom of God that it is today? Well, the Bible actually traces for us, really, how the gospel seed grew into what it is today. In Acts chapter 1, here, let's just look at some of these here. Acts chapter 1. In Acts 1, we find the church of Jesus Christ, the church at Jerusalem. It consisted of 120 people. After Jesus was crucified, after he was buried, after he rose again from the grave, before he ascended back to heaven, he gave some instructions to his church. We get over to Acts chapter 1, and we look in verses 14 and 15. These all continued with one accord in prayer. Who are these? Well, it was the Lord's church, the church of Jerusalem, and supplication. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. And so Jesus gave authority to his church to preach the gospel, to plant the gospel seeds. There are 120 members at this point in time. They continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were commissioned to preach the gospel. And so through preaching and through soul winning, the gospel seeds began to be planted and to be spread. By the time you get over to Acts chapter 2, we find the day of Pentecost. And here they're preaching Jesus Christ. They're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." 3,000 people got saved on the day of Pentecost because of the preaching of the gospel. Here's the advancement of the kingdom of God. Souls being saved. They pressed forward, preaching the gospel. By the time you get over to Acts chapter 8, look with me there, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word, preaching the gospel. So what do we find here? Through preaching, through soul winning, through persecution, the gospel seeds are beginning to spread. This persecution made them go everywhere preaching the word. As they preached, souls were saved. The kingdom of heaven, Christ's kingdom, is advancing. See it growing? What happened out of that? Same chapter, Acts chapter 8, look down in verse 12. So what do we find here? We find that Philip, he went to Samaria. And in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. What has happened here? Well, the gospel, it started with John the Baptist preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It continued with Jesus Christ and his disciples. He gave his disciples and his church at the authority to preach the gospel. They began to spread it and to preach it, and thousands upon thousands of people were saved. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so we find that as the gospel went forward, people were saved. Christ's kingdom is advancing. Persecution comes along. They went everywhere preaching the word. Samaria is one of those places. As they preached, people were saved. And there, the Bible tells us that those that gladly received the word were baptized. There was a great revival going on in Samaria. And when the apostles who were back at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to get some things organized. What did Philip do? The Spirit of God caught Philip away, sent him out into the desert. He preached the gospel again, and somebody else got saved. The kingdom of heaven is advancing. Amen? You follow this? Through preaching of the gospel, Christ's kingdom advances. What came out of all of that? By the time you get over to Acts chapter 13, we find that another church has been established and planted because of the preaching of the gospel and souls being saved. Then we find in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. They sent them away. Sent them away to do what? Mission work. To preach the gospel. Amen? And what came out of that? Multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of people being saved, and then churches being planted all over the known world, so that the entire world was turned upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see the advancement and the growth? This is exactly what Jesus was saying in his parable. The kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed. It started really small with just a select few. But as they preached the gospel and souls were being saved, it began to spread. It began to grow. And Jesus says his kingdom, his spiritual kingdom, the rule of God in the hearts of men, is like this mustard seed that grows into this giant tree. It's the biggest of all kingdoms. Totally different than the kingdoms of this world. Way bigger than the kingdoms of this world, even though it's not necessarily visibly seen at this particular point. But one day it will be seen when Jesus Christ comes again for his own. But let me make the application here. Think of what a picture this is that Jesus created with this parable of the mustard seed. What a picture of Jesus' kingdom in contrast to this vast world. Christ's kingdom, which began and grows from the gospel, it was very small. It was very tiny in its beginning. It began with just a very few. And Jesus Christ's kingdom, it wasn't taught about, it wasn't commenced in the great palaces and capitals of the great empires of the world. No, it was preached and it was taught on the roads and the highways and the marketplaces and the homes of just a tiny occupied land. What's more is that Jesus didn't himself personally spread his gospel message to the furthest parts of the world or places of the world when he walked in this earth. He didn't do that. Jesus didn't stray very far from his hometown. And his preaching was limited just to the Jewish people. In fact, his earthly ministry, he sought to have it maybe a relatively quiet one. How often did Jesus heal somebody and work a miracle and then say, "Don't go tell anybody"? Are you with me here? He wasn't out in the streets crying about his kingdom and making his voice heard as a great ruler and so on. That's not what he did. From the standpoint of how the kingdoms of this world were established, his own kingdom seemed hidden in its beginning. And yet, look what has happened. He died on the cross for the sins of all men. He was buried and he rose gloriously from the dead that we might be redeemed, that we might be forgiven. And before he ascended back to heaven, he told his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, look at this. Acts 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." What was the instruction? You're going to have dunamis power, ability to, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, to be a witness, to preach the gospel in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto where? To the uttermost part of the earth. That gospel is going to go forward into the uttermost part of the earth. He told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to go therefore and preach or teach or to make disciples of all nations. Amen. And he promised in Matthew chapter 24, turn over there, Matthew chapter 24. He says in Matthew 24 and verse 14, look at this great promise that Jesus made. He promised in verse 14, he says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." What was Jesus' promise? He says, "You're going to have power to go into all the world and preach the gospel." He says, "You make disciples of all nations, and this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations." Here's the growth and the expansion of the gospel and the effect of the gospel in this world. You see how his kingdom is the greatest kingdom of all? And look at where we are today. We sit here 2,000 years later in a building that is dedicated to the worship of the Lord, to the reading in the preaching of God's word and the gospel, encouraging one another to walk faithfully with the Lord, to serve him until he comes. We're doing this in a place that is pretty nearly the exact opposite side of the world of where this gospel began. Thousands of years later. And we're just one group of believers among the thousands that would be scattered across this nation. We're just one nation among the many in the world, believers all over the world, worshiping God, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm amazed when I hear, as we've read and talked about, you know, the Hmong refugee camp in Thailand, and how the Nam Khao Baptist Church was started out of that. But through persecution and through other means, they were scattered. They went back to Laos and to their homelands. And maybe many thought that was the end and they would never hear from them again. But what has sprung out of that? Mission work after mission work after mission work all across Laos, where there's 5 or 6 organized churches, another 8 maybe mission works in the making, and how the gospel isn't stayed there. Now it's spreading into communist countries because the gospel is spreading and moving forward. People are being saved. Christ's kingdom is advancing. It's advancing as we speak. Amen. The gospel has permeated the whole world, and it's spreading in the world as we speak. And that's exactly what Jesus said his kingdom is like. The gospel seed starts very, very small, but then it grows, and it continues to grow into a tree until the greatest of all, and it spreads throughout the entire world. And then Jesus gets over to the next parable, the parable of the leaven, and he talks about how the gospel, it's like leaven. It's planted in a person's heart, and it begins to permeate, it begins to move, it begins to grow until the whole thing is affected and influenced by the gospel. The gospel that brings salvation is available to all. Praise the Lord for that. You and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't to whosoever will gospel. But let me remind you before we close this morning, remind you that this truth of the kingdom was revealed and is revealed to us in parables. Go back to our text in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. The truth of his kingdom is revealed in parables. Verse 34 of our text says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." Here we're told that Jesus spoke all of these kingdom truths that he revealed in parables. In fact, the Bible says that he spoke nothing of these truths to the crowds except by parables. And what do we know of a parable? It's a story. It's an illustration that was deliberately designed by the Lord to reveal a truth, but in a very careful way. And so he used figures of speech. He used similitudes rather than straightforward words. Now, people often say that Jesus was the greatest of all teachers. And I would certainly agree with that statement that Jesus is the greatest of all teachers. He was truly the master teacher. But I think we need to qualify that statement with something. No one else spoke like Jesus spoke. No one else taught like he taught. And Jesus literally revealed mysteries to mankind. But if we don't qualify that statement that he's the greatest of all, we might miss something. Because Jesus, even though he was the greatest teacher of all, he was also a very discriminating teacher. He didn't teach in such a way that everyone would understand everything that he was saying. His method certainly revealed that he was the greatest teacher, but it also revealed that not everyone who heard him was the greatest of students. Remember how the disciples were listening to Jesus teach here in this passage. Look at verse 10. What did they say to Jesus? All right, so he starts the passage speaking to these multitudes. He's only speaking in parables, and the disciples are listening. And you get to verse 10, and the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Here they ask the Lord, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" It's almost as if they were saying, maybe they were viewing the confused look on some people's faces as Jesus was teaching. And it's almost like they were saying, "Lord, if you really want everybody to understand, well, why don't you just speak straightforward? Why are you speaking in parables? Why are you speaking in what seems to be like riddles to some people? And the remarkable truth that they discovered was that Jesus truly intended for everyone to hear these kingdom truths. But in doing so, he knew that not everyone would understand. And he answered the disciples' question of why he spoke in parables by saying this. Look at verse 11. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Jesus is not talking about physical things. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He's talking about knowledge, the knowledge of God. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is that the Lord is going to give understanding and more understanding to those who truly want it. But to others, the knowledge that they might have, it's going to be taken away. Why? Because their heart condition is such that they don't want to receive it. This is why he gave the parable of the sower, where the good seed is planted, but not every heart condition was ready or was good soil to receive it. You understand this? This is why he gave that parable, saying it's the heart condition of people that determines whether or not God's going to give them more knowledge, more understanding. That's the way it works with the gospel. Somebody whose heart is open to the truth of God, God gives everybody a chance. God gives everybody an opportunity to receive the word of God into their heart. Jesus Christ is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into this world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody has a chance. But depending on their heart condition, it will determine whether or not God gives them more light. You understand what I mean by that? Because you can preach the gospel and give the gospel, and somebody's heart can be hard and stony ground, and they're too caught up with the cares of the world and the cares of this life, and the devil comes and snatches that seed away, that knowledge that they have, because their heart isn't right. But a person's heart who is right, who's humble, God's going to give them more knowledge, give them more light, so that their understanding of the gospel begins to grow until it brings forth fruit unto salvation. Jesus said here, the reason I'm speaking to them in parables is because it's been given unto you to understand the mysteries, but unto them it's not. And then he says, for whosoever hath, to him more will be given. In verse 12, he'll have abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And then he goes on, therefore, when you see a therefore, what do? You go back and find out what it's there for, right? And Jesus is clearly talking about the condition of their heart. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. Why? Because of the heart condition. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Remember what that meant? It was calloused. Their heart, they've calloused. And then he says, and their ears are dull of hearing, they're heavy. Their eyes have they closed on purpose, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus said, the reason I speak to them in parables is because of their heart condition. It's a hard heart. And reception of the gospel is simply a heart matter. A grasp of the truths of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a selective matter. The speaking forth of these things, it's for everyone, certainly. but the understanding of them, the true hearing, the true seeing of them is dependent upon the condition of a person's heart. That's why he gave the parable of the sower. That's why we're told that Jesus spoke these things to the multitudes in parables. It doesn't matter what a person says. A person can have the gospel, they can hear the gospel, they can tell themselves, oh, I'm saved. But unless they've truly seen with their eyes their true spiritual condition, how wicked and guilty they are, how they deserve the wrath of God, unless they've heard with their ears and truly understood with their heart the condition that they are in before God and the pride and the arrogance of their own heart, listen, that causes them to be condemned before God, unless they've truly embraced it and understood it, they can never repent of their sin. And they can talk themselves into anything. Oh, I'm saved. Yep, I'm a believer. But they know nothing of the victory that's in Jesus. They know nothing of a changed life because of the Spirit of God dwelling within. All it is a bunch of words. And the reason they're in that condition is because of a hard heart. And so Jesus spoke in parables to reveal the condition of the people's heart. Let me make a couple applications here and we'll be closed. So Jesus spoke in parables to reveal the condition of a person's heart. But we can make a couple applications for saved and unsaved here today. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this parable of the mustard seed, really it ought to be an encouraging thing. It ought to allow us to be encouraged and draw strength from the truth that's being taught here in this parable. And the truth would be this: that gospel seed, it's very small, but it begins to grow and it begins to increase. The gospel is like leaven that's planted in a heart and it begins to permeate the whole thing. Here's the principle, or here's the application. Never despise the apparent smallness of the success of the gospel in this world or in a person's heart. When I was in Jamaica, that last day, Monday, got to go to that public school and preach for just a short while to 500 kids. And you can imagine the sound that 500 kids all in one place is going to make. It was sort of chaotic. And you know, the kids were all, I don't know, sort of worked up anyway. And this was an amazing thing here. This is something we should have talked about at the men's retreat. It is amazing the difference, listen, between a man taking his rightful place as a leader and the effect it has on the hearts of the little ones versus a woman who's leading. Every day at that school, these women would get up and they would sing some songs, you know. And praise the Lord, they allow the gospel in the public school. Praise the Lord, they talk about Jesus Christ and they sing about God. They do that in the public school. But these women get up and they sing and so on. The kids have, that you know, they might do their thing, they might say their thing, but they're all rowdy, they're not under control. But listen, as soon as the principal got up, which was a man, and stood up in front of the kids, they got quiet. And I thought to myself, why in the world do people not get this and see this? Their culture is a mess. And the reason their culture is a mess is because it's a matriarchal society. The men don't lead like they're supposed to. The women do. And it just is a breakdown of God's structure and God's order, and it's led to chaos in their society. But here was just a small little example of the kids being wild and crazy and out of control, women having no control over those kids. But as soon as the principal got up and he started talking, they respected him. They knew that he was the authority. I was like, why don't you just lead this way? Why don't you just start that way? It would have been a whole lot easier for me to preach if he would have just started that way. But they didn't. And so when I got up to preach, the kids were crazy. The kids were loud. They wouldn't be quiet. And I had to be shouting over them to try to get them to calm down just so that I could just talk for a few minutes about the gospel. When it was all said and done, I was just like, what was the point of that? Like, I don't understand how anybody could have gotten anything out of any of that with all the noise and all of the other stuff. But as soon as it was over and it was time for them to go to their classes, this boy, 16-year-old boy named Jamili, came walking by and he looked at me and he kind of just gave me this heads up kind of a thing, and I knew that he wanted to talk. And I grabbed Pastor Bernard and we went and talked to Jamili, which turned into just a powerful opportunity to explain the gospel and explain repentance and explain the gift of God and explain the judgment of God and apply it right to his heart. And you could see the Spirit of God just impacting and influencing his thinking, and how the gospel and was penetrating into his heart and conviction coming over his soul. At the end of it all, I was certain that he was so close to being saved. Of course, they exchanged numbers, Pastor Bernard and Jamili. And on our way home, I found out that Jamili had trusted in Christ. The point I'm making here is that in spite of all the chaos and in spite of all the noise, the gospel actually was at work in someone's heart. And I'm telling you, what I'm saying is, don't despise the smallness of the appearance of the success of the gospel in this world or in a person's heart. You don't know what the gospel is doing in someone's heart. Speak the words, amen? Preach the gospel. Be a witness for Christ. Even just a word or two, it plants the seed, and then it's up to the Lord and the Word of God to do its job. Don't stop praying for your unsaved loved ones. Don't stop witnessing, because the gospel is at work, and Jesus Christ promised, listen, he promised it would be successful in this world. The gospel began as something very small, but its expansion and its growth, listen, it was assured of, and its success in this world was guaranteed by Jesus, no matter what. The Word of God is always going to accomplish the purpose that it was sent forth to accomplish. Somebody might say, well, people don't always get saved. That isn't necessarily the end or the only thing that it's supposed to accomplish. The Word of God will condemn a soul. Amen? The Word of God will plant the seed of the gospel. It will always accomplish the purpose that it was sent forth to accomplish. Nobody can give an excuse or say to God, I didn't have a chance or I didn't know. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, be encouraged. Draw strength from this truth. Don't despise the apparent smallness. Keep preaching. Keep planting. Because the gospel will grow. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, then the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is being offered to you today. The fact is that Jesus Christ is coming again. He'll return someday, and every knee will bow before him. Everyone will stand before him, and he will rule, and he will reign. But understand this, he wants to rule and reign in your heart right now. Maybe you're like these people that Jesus was speaking to in parables. The heart is hard. And they're not really seeing, not really hearing. Maybe that's you this morning. It's my prayer that you have ears to hear and eyes to truly see your own heart condition, that you might come to Christ today. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Understand that you're a sinner, guilty before God. You're condemned. His wrath abides on you. But you can be saved today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths, these parables. that Jesus spoke. And Lord, I'm so thankful for the success of the gospel that is promised by Jesus Christ. And as saints of God, Lord, maybe we'd be encouraged to keep on planting the seeds of the gospel, not to be discouraged or weary in well-doing. Because maybe it doesn't appear as though anything is happening in someone's heart. Father, may we claim these promises of Jesus Christ, that His gospel be preached throughout all the world as a witness to all nations. The gospel is like leaven that begins to permeate into a heart. And Father, we pray that it would ultimately find good soil. Lord, I pray as well for some who would be here today who've never truly been saved. Father, may they see and hear that this good news of the gospel is for them. May they humble themselves to admit what they really are and be saved today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's